you really want to match your business plan with your loan terms. And what I mean by that is, what is the game plan? You put in a lot of CapEx, a lot of renovation money. So it's a really super deep value add that you really want to do that fast and then refi out.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Multifamily Monday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. Welcome back, everybody. I took a short break this summer, but I'm back. Got some great episodes lined up, both solo shows and interviews. Got some heavy hitters on the interviews that are going to bring a ton of value. So stay tuned in the weeks to come. Before I get into today's episode, just wanted to remind you all that if you ever wanted to see any opportunities that Greenbrier Capital Group, my real estate investment firm, offers, there's an easy way to do that. Say one, simply click the link in the show notes and schedule a time to meet with us. Two, text DEALS, that's DEALS, DEALS to 415-528-7403. Again, text DEALS to 415-528-7403. You'll put in your email, you'll get sent an email, and you can schedule a time to meet with us. We want to meet with you to better get to know you and your investment goals and objectives. Because after all, we want to make sure we're all aligned. We're providing the type of investment that you're looking for and that you're the type of investor that would fit perfectly with our offerings. So again, if you want to check that out, currently we do have an offering. It's a 506C, so it is for accredited investors only. But we do offer 506Bs as well, which allow for non-accredited investors. We just can't come on here and market them. So schedule a call so we can start building a relationship and get to know one another better. And you can then check out our offerings. All right. So let's talk about today's episode. So today's episode, I just got back from a national conference. I shouldn't say national conference, more of a mastermind. And the room had over $1 billion in assets under management, probably totaling around 10,000 units, some high-level operators, mid-level, high-level, just a diverse group of people investing in diverse markets too, all over the country. And so I just wanted to share the top takeaways that I took away from the meeting to share with you all, both about the market, multifamily sector, raising money, raising capital, finding deals, insurance market, lending market, all the good stuff. So let's just take it from the top. The first thing we talked about is different asset classes and that there's opportunity in all. Just want to get fixated. Obviously, from an operator standpoint, it makes sense to focus on one asset class. But from investor standpoint, it can help to have diversification, right? And we talked a lot about the opportunities in commercial. Specifically, you can create a lot of value if you think outside of the box. Obviously, you can turn office into other asset classes, multifamily, obviously, but also traditional, just retail. There was a story of turning old car wash, 3-bay car wash, into like boutique quick lunch restaurants, right? So, and they were getting a premium. They were getting like double the per square foot for rent, which is really unique. Low overhead for the business because it was, they created an outdoor seating. So it was takeout. You could eat it there or take it home. Really small square footage. That was essentially just for takeout. That was really cool. We talked a lot about looking at different asset classes. And in this time when it's hard to find deals, sometimes you just got to think outside the box and maybe take existing asset and position it into something else. Next, I want to talk about lending. We had a broker that was in the room and shared his thoughts on the market. Obviously, tighter market, loan to values obviously down. Well, depends on the deal, but generally it is down. Lender appetite, not as many lenders out there. We talked a lot about agency because agency is best if you're a long-term type of deal. You get really good rates, sometimes better loan to value now. Great amortization, 30-year amortization, long-term fixed rate that's generally lower, and they have appetite because they're not going to meet their budget. I think per agency or something like $85 billion they were supposed to lend out this year, and they're not going to even come close. That's Freddie and Fannie, right? So not going to even come close. So there's a lot of appetite out there, but kind of the big takeaways, and I've mentioned both of these before, but you really need to look at DSCR versus payout, right? And what I mean by that, you think you can get a certain payout. When I mean by payout, I mean the funds you're going to get, the actual amount of loan you're going to get. But it really comes down to the DSCR. And is it going to meet whatever guideline it is? Is it 1.2, 1.25? Sometimes it's higher. And if you don't meet that out, then the loan to value is going to come down there by your payout. So you really need to know what your lender is looking at and really need to have your numbers really dialed in from operation expenses, taxes, insurance. And so that's why sometimes having a broker, the broker can really plead the case to the lender of what your business plan is, who you are, what you've done. And that's another takeaway why sometimes having a broker, yes, you have to pay them a fee. It is costlier, right? But they know you, they know your business, they know your business model. They already have relations with these lenders. So the lenders are going to take what they say with some credibility, right? Your broker can really plead your case for you. Next is, and I've mentioned this one time and time again, is you really want to match your business plan with your loan terms. And what I mean by that is, what is the game plan? You put in a lot of CapEx, a lot of renovation money. So it's a really super deep value add that you really want to do that fast and then refi out. Well, if you're putting in agency debt on that, well, one, you're not going to get any of your CapEx financed, but two, there's going to be either really heavy yield maintenance or defeasance, which is essentially our prepayment penalties. And that does not make sense, right? Whereas more of like a bridge loan or other type of loan, you're not going to have a prepayment penalty and they're going to be aligned. And then if you are going to use an agency type debt, like what term? Maybe you want to exit in 5 years, but you could push to 7. So maybe a 7-year term would make a lot more sense versus a 10-year. Yeah, you feel more safe with a 10-year, but if you need to exit in 5 to 7 years, you're going to pay a pretty hefty price to exit. So it's about lining up the loan terms with your business plan. It's not always about finding the best rate, the best LTV. No, you got to think about everything that in terms of your business plan from start to finish. Next, I want to talk about, we talked about CapEx, specifically due diligence, how you can really set yourself apart. And one way of doing that is bringing a construction management, the head of the company or someone on their team. Obviously, if you have this in-house, you're probably doing this anyways. But for most, I'm sure, don't have this in-house. So you need to align yourself with someone you trust, someone you've hopefully used before, so you know how they operate, the quality of work they do. There's actually a few main benefits of doing this. One, you're obviously going to bring an experienced construction manager. So they're going to be able to dial in your CapEx, really tell you how much you need to spend on this property. They're going to uncover the good, the bad, and the ugly. They're going to see stuff that you wouldn't even think twice about. Whereas like you're coming in and maybe it's a brick exterior and it looks good to the eye, but they catch that like there's issues here with the mortar. You're going to have to redo this. This is going to add another, throw an arbitrary number, $100,000 to your CapEx budget. You know, they're going to come in, they're going to see the floor and they're like, there's no subfloor under this. This is just strictly pine beams over cross beams. We need to redo this. This is going to be another $100,000, $200,000, whatever it happens to be. That could blow up the deal, right? They're going to see things that you just don't see because they have years of experience. They've been through it. Again, you're going to get real numbers of what it costs to do this. So you can really dial in and you can tell the broker, you can tell the seller, whoever you're dealing with, this is really what it is going to take to do this. And that's why my number is X. Also, it sets you apart. You just look way more professional. You're not wasting anyone's time. You're really getting solid numbers so you can give them a solid number and not have to retrade in the future. Just it looks like you're prepared. And that's big. That's big for a broker, right? Then they don't get paid until they close. And I've experienced this. One of my first big deal that I ever awarded, I did this. And the broker like mentioned it, like you guys were so thorough. I've never had someone be so thorough on due diligence. And that sets you apart. They knew that the offer we were submitting, we had already dialed everything in. We're not going to retrade. We've seen everything. It's their biggest fear and really why they want you to do a tour. If you didn't and you make an offer and then you come back and do due diligence after your offer is accepted and you see all these things that you didn't see because you didn't do either a tour at all or an in-depth tour, they're like, what the heck? And now you want to retrade? Whereas if you do an in-depth tour, you bring construction management, you have your numbers dialed in, they know you're not going to retrade on things like because you have already seen it. And so that's really important. Another takeaway, we talked about tokenization. For those of you that aren't familiar with the term, think blockchain, right? So blockchain, high level. So all my crypto and tech people out there, don't be hating on me, but this is very high level. It's essentially a digital contract, right? So for instance, like a deed, you could have a deed tokenized where it's a digital contract, easier to pass and much harder, if not impossible, to counterfeit because it has essentially a paper trail, digital paper trail, you know, that hopefully shouldn't be cracked, right? That's essentially what crypto is built on, is blockchain, right? So what would come into play here is it would provide liquidity to an illiquid investment. So traditionally private placements, what a syndication is it's quite illiquid, right? You invest your $100,000, you're not going to see it till the project is done generally. So that could be 5, 7, 10 years, right? and you're not going to get that out. Like in some cases, yeah, you might be able to work with the sponsor. If you have an emergency in your life and need the money, you can get $100 out and another investor can fill that slug. But generally, that's not guaranteed. That can't necessarily happen. So it's an illiquid investment. However, tokenization would allow you, because it's a digital contract, can't be copied, can't be counterfeit. You can show the ownership of said token, which would essentially be a share in the private placement. This creates liquidity and thereby allows you to create a secondary market. So I invest into a syndication. After 2 years, I decide I need this money for X, right? I need something else in my personal life. I'm going to go to the second market and see what I can get for it, right? I can sell my share in this private placement, this syndication. So we talked about that. Now, it's a cool thought and we'll see what happens. I'm sure there'll be a lot of regulation for anything like this happens, but the kind of conversation, it's been done before in some cases, some small cases. I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe it was a Ritz-Carlton in Colorado, so maybe an Aspen or Vail was to develop it. They tokenized it. But this isn't a big thing yet, right? And the conversation was it probably won't be 3 to 5 years before it becomes more commonplace. Next, we're talking about raising capital, right? That's a big one for anyone. Do you want to do a deal? You got to raise capital, right? We talked about it. It's tough out there right now, right? There's a lot of uncertainty. Maybe people aren't as liquid as they were before, or they're just taking a step back to see how things play out, right? Some people are just waiting. They think better opportunities are going to come, or they're just unsure about geopolitical risks. What's the Fed going to do? And so on and so forth. So we just had a conversation that it's tough out there. It's tough for anyone. We have some high-level people in this meeting and it's tough for them, right? Relative to how it has been in the recent past. We talked about just having systems in place, processes of how you're onboarding people, the follow-up, communication, transparency. That's the biggest thing. Just be transparent no matter what's happening about the good, the bad, and the ugly to investors. And be transparent and communicate soon. Don't wait. As soon as you know something, and obviously, you want to see if you can have a solution first, right, to provide them as well. But don't wait long. Be transparent and do it quickly. And we talked about kind of how to build that type of following, that type of funnel to have leads, investors, right? And we just talked about just documenting your journey. It's as simple as that. Document what you're doing from professional to personal. Just document. People are really invested in those that just document their journey. They're just a real person doing real things, right? It's not about creating content to fit some algorithm of some platform, right? That's not genuine. That's not authentic. People don't want to see that. Just share everything. Share your journey. Share the good, the bad, the ugly. That will attract the right tribe, your tribe, right? Because you're being authentic and that will attract the people that align with that. Inevitably, that will provide value to those people. And when you provide value to people and consistently provide value to people, you will be rewarded in ways you can't even imagine. So it's all about value, 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 and then an ask, right? And sometimes that can be a long time before you hit an ask because you want to create your authority one, but you just want to continue to provide value. I think Alex Hormozi says like 98% of what he does is value. And then that small 1 to 2% is ask. That's a generous trade-off if you ask me from the consumer standpoint. So raising capital, it's just continue to put yourself out there, document your journey, all of it. And then finding deals. Obviously, this is another big one. Those are the two big things, right? Finding deals and finding capital to fund those deals. So finding deals. We talk different aspects of this and what's working for people. Broker relations, right? It's not a fair game. What I mean by that is once you start to build a relationship with people, they know you, they like you, they trust you, they know you can close, you've performed for them in the past. It's not fair. They will send you their best deals before anyone else sees it. And seller permitting allow you to transact before anyone else sees, or at least before more than a handful of people groups see it. It's just an unfair game. But to do that, you need to develop these relationships. It takes time, takes consistency. It takes aligning with the right person. Build a true bond with someone who likes to do what you do, or you like to do what they do. Similar hobbies, maybe it is, similar values. Really build that relationship. Fly out and meet them if your market is not where you live, and just continue to talk to them and give them feedback on everything. I've mentioned this before, especially the deals that don't work, giving them feedback on why. Doesn't work because of X. Doesn't work because of X, Y, and Z. Let them know. That means a lot to them because they can bring that feedback to the seller. They know what you are not looking for. It simply just shows you care, that you're giving them the time of the day. They're not wasting their time. You want to do this and you're serious about it. And then we talked about just networking with everyone. Obviously, the important ones and the obvious ones, I should say, the sellers, brokers, property management, maintenance people, just everyone, but also just anyone you meet with. You never know who knows someone, or you never know who someone is really, right? You never know what they do and you don't know who they know. For sure. So just always say what you're doing. Offer finder's fees. A lot of success with this. Like the last person you would think could bring you a deal will bring you on if you're offering some type of finder's fee. And that's illegal. We're not talking about raising capital. We're talking about providing a finder's fee for finding a deal. You brought me this deal. Here's a finder's fee. That incentivizes people. That number can move a big needle for them, right? Just throwing a number, 25 grand finder's fee, that can incentivize someone a lot. And that finder's fee can be more, can be less, depending on the size of the deal. And this has worked for people. And also mailers, right? I've talked about this before, and we don't do much of this, but someone there was talking about how they really basic mailer, simply saying, this is us. We live in your market. We've done X. Have the opportunity to buy your properties if you're looking to sell and we want to grow in X market, right? Had a picture of them. And they sent it to themselves to see what it looked like. And they were like laughing and thought they had to change it, right? Because it was just big font, the orientation of the picture. There was an error in the message, right? Grammatical error, but it was working. And everyone was like, don't fix the grammatical error. That sometimes that works because it shows that you're human. This is not just a canned thing. They ended up getting a call from the biggest developer in their market. And they were actually looking to offload a few properties so they could roll the cash into some new developments. So all this stuff works. And I think in today's market, you got to hit all aspects. In a market that's firing on all cylinders, I think you can stick to one lane. Let's say like brokers, for example, if you can healthy transaction volume, you can stick to that lane. But in today's market where transaction volume is down, harder to find deal where you're the bid-ask spread between what the seller wants, what you want to pay, and that's wider than normally, it's hard to find deals. So I think in today's market, it makes sense to kind of hit all of these. The last two deals we found, one was from property management, networking and asking. The other one was for networking with other sellers in the market. That's how we've gotten. So that's kind of the things I wanted to share, the big takeaways, kind of to sum everything up. There's still opportunities out there to find deals. There's still capital out there. It just takes more effort. It's been easy the past few years. Now it just takes a lot of effort. You got to really look at everything and dial in your operations because taxes are going through the roof. Insurance is going through the roof. Obviously, rates are higher, so everything's tighter and you got to really dial in your operations, make sure your team is a well-oiled machine and you got to have the confidence. In the market you're in, you got to have intimate knowledge of said market because everything is about time, right? So if you can make a decision quicker than others, you're going to have major leg up. And that comes from knowing your market, having confidence that you know your market. And that usually takes time being in the market, talking to a lot of people, obviously doing business in that market, but just being in that market helps a substantial amount and will set you apart. Hope you guys got some value out of this. At the end of the day, there's some deals out there. You just got to work for them. We're finding good opportunities. It's taken a lot of work, but there's some great opportunities out there. And we're really excited about what's in the next 6 to 12 months. We're going to see some good opportunities, get into trouble and really need to exit the deals they're in. And that's going to provide value for those on the sidelines waiting to pounce. So thanks for tuning in as always, guys. And as always, easy doesn't pay well and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you so we can create the lives of our dreams. And through personal excellence, we can make this world a better place. All right, buddy. Catch you on the next one. Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.